Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Here we are once again, Dudes on Hockey, episode 48. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude.
Dude, what's up? Alexa Yegorov.
Nice.
The only number 48 in Sharks history.
Really?
Yeah. That's the truth. There it is. Today, dude, we have a very special show.
We do. We certainly do.
We do. We have a roundtable discussion with some of your favorite Sharks bloggers, the all-stars of Sharks bloggers.
That's right. We've got Mike Chen.
We have John Swenson.
And we've got Jason Plank.
Yeah. So that's from Mike Chen's A Kukla's Corner in Battle of California. That's battleofcali.com. John Swenson is from sharkspage.com and also sometimes contributes to Battle of California. And Jason Plank is the main guy behind fearthefin.com. So I know major Sharks fans out there already read all three blogs, but just in case you don't, you got to add them to your bookmarks page because that's the best of the Sharks blog.
Marcel Gotch.
Except for, Marcel Gotch has a pretty good blog too, or did.
Today I went to Britannia Arms with Erhoff. We have bratwurst. We lose game six.
Exactly. Again.
Again.
Yeah. So read our blog, sharks.hockeyanalysis.com, and read these guys' blogs. And here we go on to the discussion. Dude. All right, welcome to the first Dudes on Hockey Roundtable, dude. We got the all-stars of the Sharks blogging world with us today.
That's right.
And I just want to introduce each of them. First up, we got John Swenson of SharksPage.com, also blogs for BattleofCalifornia.com. He's been running Sharks Page since, I think, the beginning of time, since before the internet. I think he was actually carving the blog on stone tablets at one time. So, John,
yes.
Thanks for joining us.
No problem.
All right, second up, we got Mike Chen, who blogs at Kukla's Corner. That's KUKLASKORNER.com. You can find Mike Chen there. Also a part-time blogger at Battle of California. Mike, welcome to the show.
Howdy.
And batting cleanup, last but not least, we got Jason Plank from fearthefin.com, blogging on the Sharks over at Sports Blog Nation, just like Battle of California. And Jason, thanks for showing up.
Yep, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, guys.
Dude. I guess just say dudes.
Dude. Honorary dude. It's good to have you here. Dudes, I'm going to kick this off with a question for you. I'm going to go to John first on this. Guys, if the Sharks had drawn the Calgary Flames and the Vancouver Canucks, will we be attending the conference finals this weekend? John?
Really, I think with the performance in the first round, I can't really take anything for granted. It was just disheartening to see them come out again, and I don't think they were prepared to play from the drop of the puck. So I mean, to be honest, I don't think I could say they'd be in the conference final against either of those teams.
Mike, what do you think?
I disagree in that I didn't think they were completely listless through the whole series. I would think that if you broke down the percentage of time that they were more in control of the puck than Anaheim, I would say they're probably about 60%. They were hitting, they were shooting, they weren't driving the net, and they couldn't figure out Anaheim's system when Anaheim figured them out. But I think if you put them up against Columbus or St. Louis or, you know, one of the other potential eight seeds, you know, it probably would have been a pretty, not a cakewalk, but it probably would have been a win. The second round, who knows? It depends on opponent.
Yeah, let me just add that for those first two games were right on a platter after the first two periods. So, I mean, they had an opportunity, you know, however the game was going, even though I think it was leaning in their favor, they just didn't play hard enough to take it.
Mr. Plank, what do you say?
I'll agree with that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when I looked at the series, I kind of tried to step back, and it really came down to Hiller for me and goaltending in general. I don't think Nabokov played well. Could we have ridden that to the Western Conference Finals? I'm not sure, but I think it's safe to say that if we played St. Louis, which was the other potential first-round draw, I think we would be playing in the second round right now.
Dude, it's not like Javi Bulin's been awesome
yeah.
for the Blackhawks. What do you think, dude?
I'm saying definitely. Flames and Canucks. I think against those opponents, we'd beat them both. I think the Ducks were the worst possible stinking crap draw in years for a 1-8 seed. And I think that a lot of the playoff success is due to luck. It's injuries. It's the right draw. It's peaking at the right time. And all the luck went against the Sharks this way. You can call an excuse. You can call it a reason. Call whatever you want. Fact is, Sharks are playing. Sharks are going to Vegas right now, and we're sitting here talking about what could have been.
Yeah, Luongo was like David Copperfield.
Only McClellan's going to Vegas. No, huh? I'm just joking.
What'd you say?
It's the NHL awards show. Only McClellan is going to Vegas.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was like Luongo is David Copperfield here. He disappeared.
Yeah, yeah.
But
all right, next up. Does this team have a leadership problem? And if so, what do they need to do to fix it? Let's go to Mike Chen first up.
I would think... you know, considering what we've learned about Patty Marleau's injury and how strong he played basically from, I guess, February of last season all the way up till when, you know, he basically went down, I don't question him in terms of his effort or his passion. I don't think, you know, JR called out Thornton about his intensity, and I think, you know, that's one of the things we're just going to have to accept, that Joe Thornton is not going to be the Jerome McGinley type of, you know, fierce leader guy. If he can continue to produce but allow other people to carry the passion forward, then I think it's okay. You can have multiple people in different roles. I think Dan Boyle is important to be that sort of spokesperson going forward. And whether that means changing the C or not, I think that's overemphasized. But as long as you have those types of players forward, I think the mix is there. You know, it's just, I agree with the idea that, you know, a lot of bad things happen, and when good things happen, they fail to capitalize. So I'm not in favor of just dismantling everything.
All right, Plank, what you got?
In terms of the C, I mean, I don't know. I always kind of try and refrain from making a comment about who should wear the C or not, just because, you know, I'm not really familiar with what exactly goes on in the locker room. But, I mean, in terms of Patrick Marleau, he's not a fire and brimstone guy, but you look at a guy like Jonathan Toews, I mean, I don't think he's a fire and brimstone guy. Nicky Lidstrom, he's not a fire and brimstone kind of guy either. I mean, I think that's kind of something for the coaching staff and management to decide.
All right, John.
Well, if I can add one quick point.
Okay, go ahead, Mike.
Yes.
If they do want to choose a new captain, I wouldn't be opposed to whoever's on the roster by the time opening night comes around, if they just took a secret ballot in the locker room. And if it's Patty Marleau, great. If it's Dan Boyle, great. You know, leave it up to the players and the coaches. I don't think it's something that we really needed to discuss too much.
That's a decent idea, actually.
All right. John?
Well, you know, I'm kind of conflicted on this issue. I think on one side, I think Patrick Marleau and Joe Thornton can give you everything you need. I think they can, you know, go that extra mile in the playoffs and kind of lead this team, you know, to the promised land. But then I'm seeing what's in front of my eyes, and I'm a regular DOH podcast listener. I heard EJ Raddick last week say neither of these guys are natural leaders. I'm not 100% I can agree with that, but there is some issues there. And I think also it comes with not just their play on the ice. I think both of them are players that lead by example. You also have to inspire your team. Like even if Marleau was the best player on this team by far in the regular season, but before that puck dropped in game one, even if he was only like 60-70%, I wanted to see Marleau and Thornton getting these players frothing at the mouth before they came onto the ice. And I didn't see that. You know, there's like a hole there. And I think part of that also has to go to the coaching. I think Plank mentioned fire and brimstone. When I hear that, I think of Daryl Sutter. And probably the only individual in hockey that I've actually been a little bit of afraid of to stand next to was Daryl Sutter. And there was a question and answer session. He went through all the questions and he looked at me and I was like, I don't have to say anything. I don't have anything to say. But I think the fear-based motivation only goes so far in the locker room. And so you can push that. It might be successful for a year or two, but over an extended period, I think I might want a McClellan. But right now I'm just kind of, you know, I want anything that'll work.
Dude, these guys are waffling a little bit. You gonna waffle?
Well, I think what we've said is, and it sounds like some of the guys agree that the captaincy itself, the C, is just a little bit overrated. And, you know, citing examples of Toews and Lidstrom, I think are valid. And one thing we talked about earlier off the air, dude, is you look at the Sharks' production from their forwards in the playoffs, and the Sharks, you know, it was pretty embarrassing, 18 points total from their forwards. But Thornton and Marleau and Seto, you know, the top line, your leadership, they had 60% of those points. So, you know, did they not do their part? Did they not carry the weight? Joe went out there and got in a fist fight before game six, and he tried to incite one in game five, and Marleau was playing on one leg. I don't know what else we could ask from them as far as on the ice. I think that the second tier guys were the ones who didn't show up for the Sharks.
I'm going to, you know, maybe I'm the only one. I think there needs to be a change. I'm not saying that that necessarily means that these guys need to be traded. These top guys need to be traded. But I think the structure, the leadership of the team needs to be changed in some way. I don't think it's working for whatever reason. And it maybe it's not Marleau and maybe it's not Joe, but it seems to be the combination of those two. Those two together aren't producing the kind of stuff that we need to see at the top. And it is a bit of a PR role, what that is, wearing the C. It's a PR role to a certain extent. But maybe it needs to be a guy that goes out like Dan Boyle did after what was it, game four, and said, this isn't good enough. This sucks. You know, and I get sort of boilerplate answers from these guys. I don't know.
Dude.
That's just me. I want to see a change a little bit.
Let me throw out a name here, huh? Let's bring back the old bones of Jeff Odgers. Guys, what do you think? Jeff Odgers?
Yes.
And all 50 joints in his nose. Jeff Odgers.
I'm ready. Well, sort of piggybacking on this topic, guys. If there's one player on the team that you think needs to be traded or not re-signed in the offseason, Plank, who's it going to be?
I don't think we're bringing back Mike Greer just for in terms of production versus salary. You're talking like a roster player who had...
Yeah, anyone on the current roster.
Honestly, I'd have to go with Evgeny Nabokov, but only if we get an NHL-ready goaltender back. I don't know. Nabokov, to me, he's kind of in the same mold as like Kiprusoff, who he's a guy who likes to challenge a lot. And he was getting beat five hole. I think it was like, what, 50% of the goals were five hole? Is that?
Seemed like it.
Yeah. I think, you know, he's a guy who likes to challenge a lot and relies on his reflexes. But he's still a top goaltender. I think he can yield a pretty high return. If I am moving anybody, I think it's Nabokov. I mean, he had a save percentage under 900%, I think, or 90%. In the postseason. There's someone I would go with Nabokov.
Dude, what do you say?
I'm going to say Chichu. I think for two reasons. One is obviously his production's really dropped off. It certainly seems like McClellan doesn't have a lot of confidence in Chichu. He's not playing him a lot of minutes. This is a guy who's making a reasonable amount of money who could be a top six forward on the right team. You need a sniper on the power play. You need a guy in the top six. Maybe they have a second round pick they want to get rid of. I mean, Toronto couldn't get a first-round pick for Antropov, so I think getting a first-round pick for Chichu is a little bit too optimistic, but I think a second-tier team might take him, and he's a reasonable amount of money. I say Chichu.
John?
To be fair, I think Chichu's out of town, too. I don't think there's any way we keep him, not for $3 million on a third-line role. It's, yeah.
John, what do you say?
Well, first off, I think Nabokov was kind of a mistake. This season, letting him go the distance as like the only goaltender in the organization, I think he kind of needed to give Boucher a little bit more work down the stretch. And if you look at Varlamov and Hiller, that's the benefit of having a two goaltender solution. You know, maybe if some guy falters a little bit, you can go to the option number two. And Boucher was solid earlier in the year, but I think his last two starts, he was kind of shaky. He pulled out one of the wins. I think, you know, that was one way they went the wrong way. I split up, I think, who you're going to keep and who's going to go. You have to determine what you're going to do with Patrick Marleau and Joe Thornton. For me, I split them up next year. I have Marleau on a second line with Pavelski and Mihalik. So for me, that kind of leaves Klo the odd man out, even though I think he's like the perfect power forward for the McClellan system. But, you know, Chichu is also a double-edged sword because, one, you got a salary and he's kind of slowed down. But then, two, you have that shot and that quick release, and you can kind of fit him in from first to fourth line and on the power play. I don't think you get rid of a shooter who can bury goals when you got this team, you know, who struggled to score in the playoffs. And then Greer was called by McClellan, the captain of the penalty kill. it's kind of like the Klo situation. This is his second straight postseason where he went in with an injury. So it's hard to be 100% critical of, you know, what he was able to bring. It's just, I think, bad luck, and it's just a numbers game moving forward. I think Mitchell's going to be out of that third line for a full year next year. Maybe the one guy who I was kind of let down by is Moen, and I think you guys mentioned it on a previous podcast. He had a little bit of trouble playing against his former teammates in Anaheim. His first game at HP Pavilion, he drew a hooking penalty. On the same play, he kept moving forward, and he flattened a forward in front of the crease. That's kind of what I wanted, the gritty, hard in your face kind of, you know, grinder, and that didn't show up in the postseason. So I keep him. I think that was an anomaly. Greer's gone, maybe Klo is gone. I've never seen Huskins, so I don't know if he's gone or not.
So Mike, we've heard, you know, Moen, Greer, Nabby, Cheech, who's your pick?
Well, going on the Bakov, and I also agree, I forget who said it, about the management of games played. I think it was John, about him splitting time with Boucher. When I found out that Nabby had a hip flexor for, I guess, it probably extended into the last week of the season and then going into the playoffs, I'm thinking, if he's allowed to manage his games, you know, he's going to say, I want to play through this. If you know your number one goalie's injured, don't you sit him and make sure he's healthy for the playoffs? So that sort of thing kind of bugged me. You know, I think part of that was, you know, the coaches giving too much leeway to the players. But in terms of who I think would be gone, yeah, I'm looking at who's got value right now and what would you get back for that value. I'm looking at Christian Ehrhoff because, God, he, you know, on some nights he looks like the second coming of Brian Leetch. And on some nights he's just, like, not even good enough for my beer league. So it's... You don't know what you're going to get with him, but if you're looking, if a GM is looking purely for a speedy puck moving defenseman who's got a big shot that never lands on the net, but it's a big shot nonetheless, and he's got pretty good stats, I would think you'd be able to get reasonable value for him. Cheech, you know, again, he was injured off and on for the bulk of the season. We don't know, you know, if he's, I don't think he's totally lost all his goal scoring ability. You still saw him pull things out where it's like, yeah, he's still got it. And, you know, both with his shot and his moves. I like having that flexibility. Ehrhoff, I think, as talented as he is, he's so much of a liability, and you just don't know what you're going to get with him.
Yeah. If Ehrhoff was in a beer league, it would be delicious, though, right? German beer? Be fantastic. I'm going to point, I'm pointing the finger at Milan Mihalik here, guys. If we're talking about value, I think he's still got value. But in the playoffs, he was extremely disappointing. Look at the second line, how they really bombed out. He showed up, he scored one goal. Not acceptable at how good the Chicago Blackhawks second line has been. Havlat and Versteeg have carried them to the conference finals. I'm going Milan Mihalik. See what you can get for that guy.
Worst contract on the team, at least right now. That's for sure.
Not looking good.
Nope.
All right. So this week we're gonna move over a little bit more into the fantasy land. I think maybe some of you, maybe all of you, are going to State of the Sharks on Thursday, and the question is, if you could ask any question at State of the Sharks and get a candid, actual, truthful answer.
This is a fantasy now.
Now we're talking fantasy. What question would you ask, John?
Oh, I have to go first?
you want to pass?
No, I'm not going to pass. I got to ask Doug Wilson the last question at the locker cleanout. I asked him, you know, the character of this team was questioned. How did they respond? And it was kind of a tough answer because, one, I can't really question guys that are playing, you know, light years above whatever I could do. But he said, it's you know, talking doesn't do anything. You get it done on the ice. And basically all year long they were being asked questions about postseason success. And they said, well, wait till the postseason. Then they got to the postseason, and I think they laid an egg. So I got my answer. You know, it wasn't a good one, but I asked if the character of the team was questioned, and he said, we got to answer that on the ice, and they didn't. So, I don't know. I got my question.
Mr. Chen?
You know, I don't even know what I would, you know, okay, I would ask McClellan. I would say, when Anaheim figured out how to clog up the neutral zone and, you know, prevent the entry, both on the power play and even strength, what did you do to change it, and why didn't it work?
Well, were they clogging up the neutral zone, or were they just standing them up at the blue line and then getting three guys high on the power on the penalty kill? Because it seemed to me they kind of laid back a little bit, and then right when they were approaching the blue line, they had at one point they had five guys right on the blue line, and the Sharks didn't dump the puck deep. They didn't carry the puck in
with speed, and they clogged up the neutral zone in a way where you basically had like three guys high and then two guys back, and they moved back in a unit, and then so the Sharks couldn't go through the neutral zone with speed. And my solution, which I kept saying over and over and over on my Battle of California game days, is you use the strategy where you dump it in, you're chasing forwards, you know you hit the line with speed, as much speed as possible. And you're seeing Pittsburgh's doing it right now. Washington's doing it in some way. It works if everyone's on the same page, but when they tried to do it, you know, everyone just looked confused. And like, oh, we've got to dump the puck now. I guess we're going to go cross ice and hope someone gets it. And, you know, it just looked like they didn't even talk about it at all as an alternative option.
That's kind of a departure from the regular season, because early on, they were talking about dump in with a purpose. And I thought that, you know, it was kind of a nice little marketing slogan. But when I was on the ice, I noticed a guy would throw cross ice and there would already be a player moving towards that area of the ice. And that didn't happen at all in the playoffs.
All right, we're getting a little off track. Dude, what do you think? What question would you ask?
I'm going to ask Doug Wilson how he's going to convince Daryl Sutter to give us Dion Phaneuf for Derek Jocelyn, a first-round pick, and Alexei Semenov's rights.
Seriously, though.
Because if he pulled off a Hail Mary last year, he could do it again.
You got a real question for him?
No, that's my question.
That's your question? All right, Weisiger. Okay, Mr. Plank, what do you think?
I would ask him if he has asked or plans to ask Patrick Marleau, Joe Thornton, and or Evgeny Nabokov to waive their no-trade clause.
Oh, good question.
That's a tasty one. I like that one, too. Yeah, I'd probably ask the leadership question. I'd say, you know, can this team continue with the way it's structured at the top and, you know, haven't we seen from the last 3 years that this is not working and something has to change? That's probably what I'd ask them.
I have a question. I want to know when they're going to bring back an organist.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Well, I hate the booing on the power play. Bring back an organist.
So guys, after the embarrassment of losing in the first round, do you think Ron Wilson was unfairly blamed for the Sharks' postseason woes, Mike? Yes.
Hello? Yeah.
Yes. Okay. You, Mike.
There's two mics here, dude. You gotta be more specific.
I don't think so, because I think the way that the Sharks lost this year was different from previous seasons, and I was frustrated with Wilson over a number of things for maybe the past 2 years. Where with Wilson, boy, you got the Sharks like to go in their defensive shell after going up 1-0. And you know, they had the horses to do better than that, and you know, they proved that during the regular season. I would think the coaching errors that happened, I would say they're different than what Wilson had, but I think they're more fixable. I know that's kind of a nebulous answer, but I just think McClellan can do more with this team than Wilson can.
Jason, would you like to have Ron Wilson back? Or are you happy with the change?
No, I'm definitely happy with the change. I thought McClellan did a very good job. I mean, Mike Chen pointed out, you know, some good critiques that he possibly could have changed in terms of game plan. But I'm pretty much fully on board with what. Just listen to Mike. Don't listen to me.
John, do you think Ron Wilson's? Do you think Ron Wilson was cackling in Toronto when he saw this happen?
Or wasn't he in Switzerland for the...
That's true. He had some time off too, didn't he?
Yeah. I think, you know, if you base your whole offensive system on getting rebounds in front of the net and then you don't get any rebounds, that's kind of a bad sign. But I think McClellan overall, I think he can do more with this team than Wilson did. And yeah, I'm kind of glad McClellan's here. Just he needs a year to make adjustments.
Dude?
Yeah, I'm with that too. He's a rookie coach. He's going to do things a little bit different next year. And the fact is that Patrick Marleau doesn't score 38 goals with Ron Wilson behind the bench. period. It just doesn't happen, right? I mean, he's going to, that little feud is going to continue. You know, maybe they'll play it out in the media, maybe they'll play it out behind closed doors. But Patrick Marleau doesn't blossom on the first line like he did this year. It just, there's no chance. I'd rather have 38 goals and a prospect of doing even better the next year than 22 goals and more crap during the offseason. No question.
So with McClellan being nominated for the Jack Adams, do you think he should shave his head like Bruce Boudreau so we can rub it after wins? Because that seems to be working. It seems to be working.
I say no. The Sonic the Hedgehog thing is working.
No, he looks good as an Ewok.
All right. Here's the last one. Another fantasy question, guys. We can get you out of here on this. If you were Doug Wilson, who is the one player that you would target in the offseason in a trade or free agency that can get the Sharks to the next level? So we can suspend a little disbelief in who the Sharks might or might not be able to actually get, but who would you really want to target, i.e., what does this team need? Let's go with Mr. Plank first.
It really kind of depends on whether Ryan Clough's going to be subject to an offer sheet. And I don't know. I mean, what do you guys think about Clough? Do you think he'll be coming back? I sort of see a GM, you know, going Kevin Lowe on him. And, you know,
I think he's going to get I think he's going to get a Dustin Penner type contract from some idiot.
So Mike thinks he's getting an offer sheet. John, what do you think?
I think it'll turn out the same way as Dustin Penner did in Edmonton. You know, he's got to stay here even if it's for less money because it's where he's going to get the best numbers. He'll have the best chance to win a Stanley Cup, and he'll get virtually no criticism from the media.
I'm going to go the other way. I think they're going to sign him to a reasonable deal because the economy, they're not going to get a good offer sheet on him. I think he's actually the second most important player to sign Torrey Mitchell number one. What do you think, dude?
Dude, if someone offers him $4 million, I would take the first and second round draft pick and laugh and say, have a good time.
Completely.
If I don't think he's worth $4 million. I like him, but he's another guy. He just completely disappeared when we really needed him this year in the postseason. So,
but he was a late returnee from injuries too.
And true.
I don't think you can throw out the fact that the top four teams with the most man games lost injury in the first round of the playoffs in the Western Conference, they all lost.
That's true.
St. Louis, Columbus, San Jose, and Calgary.
It's a good statistic. Okay, so dude, what do you think? Who should you said Phaneuf earlier. Are you sticking with Phaneuf? Are you being serious about that, or you think the Sharks should get somebody else?
Well, I can't imagine that he's actually on the block, even though there have been, you know, some rumors floated by people who live on another planet, I think. I just can't imagine you would trade a franchise guy like that. Someone who I've been kind of kicking around in my mind, and I think a good trade partner for us would be the Nashville Predators. If we can somehow get our hands on Suter, Ryan Suter from the Preds, offer one of our forwards, maybe a Mahalik for Suter situation, I think he would help solve a lot of things. So I'm going to go Ryan Suter.
Okay. Plank, I'm going to give you another shot at the apple because you didn't really answer that.
If Clough walks, and Nick Antropov, I think, would be a fairly decent pickup. He's a UFA, correct?
I believe so.
Yep.
And then if not that, Martin Havlat, because I really like that guy. He's really cool.
We almost had him once.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mark Bell.
All right, John, what do you think? Who should the Sharks go get?
If Clough's gone and you move Marleau to the second line with Pavelski, Mahalik, in my opinion, I think you need a left wing. I don't know, someone who can complement Thornton instead of Gucci. On defense, the Sharks kind of, like, it's like EJ Redick said last week, you know, the defense didn't really step up. I think you're taking away from your strengths if you have Erhoff on the third line. If you have Erhoff and Boyle for 82 games in a season, that's going to have a huge impact. So I don't think you really need to make a move on defense.
All right. Mike, what do you think?
We're in fantasy land, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Okay. So let's say some stupid GM gives Clough an absurd offer. Why not target the best power forward out there and play on all those writers in Calgary who are, you know, claiming the sky and somehow get Jerome Iginla?
Yes.
Land.
Yes.
Yeah, I want to change my answer.
Alex Ovechkin. Yeah, that's good. Shoot for the stars, man. Appreciate that.
Yeah, why not?
I'm gonna shoot for the gutter. I'm going Chris Neal. I think this team needs to get tough. I want this team to be much more of a pain to play against than it already is. I hope JR's coming back. I'm not sure. Lemieux, who knows? Moen, he kind of disappeared in terms of the physicality aspect. Chris Neal is making $1.2 million. If I can package two lesser players and get Neal and LaPerriere, I'd take it. I'll take those guys for the cost of a great player. I think that would make the team much better.
Can we get Jessica Alba, too? Anyone?
We should trade for Mike Fisher.
Can I ask a yes-no question on Puck Daddy's Chris Drury for Patrick Marleau trade proposition? How about just a yes or no?
No.
Yes or no around
that?
No.
No. No. No way.
Yes.
you're just being an ass.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
So, dude, break it down. Chris Drury for Patrick Marleau.
Absolutely not. I mean, Chris Drury is half the production, but he'll be inspirational.
Inspirational and losing the first round, just like Marleau did.
No thanks.
I'd rather not pay an extra $1.5 million for 16 less goals in like 6 more years. No thanks.
No.
Yeah.
No chance. Okay, guys, I think this was an unqualified success. I think we should do this again. I hope we can have another Dudes on Hockey roundtable, and I thank you all for joining us this week at Dudes on Hockey.
Ooh, all the way to San Jose. We've outspent to the cap. Ronnie, what you think about that?
It's a good outro.
That was a great way to end that roundtable.
Yeah, I think so too.
Thought that went really well, dude.
I think so too. Thanks, guys, for participating. I hope to have you back again on the show some point in time. And
some interesting comments.
I'd say so. So make sure to visit their blogs and weigh in on all the stuff that they're writing about. And, of course, us as well, sharks.hockeyanalysis.com.
That's right. We'll be back next week after State of the Sharks.
That's right.
And I think I'm starting to get to that point, dude, where now I'm starting to form an opinion a little bit as far as what I think we need to do. We both kind of weighed in with some suggestions. You brought up Chris Neal. I brought up maybe Milan Mihalik as one of the ones who needs to go. Also threw at that name Ryan Suter. I think we'll talk a little bit about those in the coming weeks.
That's right. So make sure to tune in again next week, same time, same place.
Dude!
Later on.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.